Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good to be here, hey?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Good to see you tearing up Nui.
Having a crack.
Having a crack. Let's rewind back. You come from a career in real estate. I think from what I understand, you started in property management, then you moved into selling, right?
Yes. Yeah. So 9 years ago, started in property management, learnt the ropes there, had aspirations to get into sales very early on, but was told it's good to start from the start, which I'm very grateful for now because it's definitely helped with everything I do now. And yeah, moved into sales after that, worn many hats in that area, and here we are.
When you started 9 years ago, was that in the Newcastle region?
It was, yes.
Okay, so like your product knowledge, would hope, is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a street directory around here.
And that's a big value add, I'm sure, for your clients, right? Like you, I always tell people that, especially if you're doing owner rock as well, like by you injecting 9 years of your life in Nui and obviously seeing so many homes, right, and through different cycles and markets, like that's so valuable when you're sitting in front of a client now and you're able to draw some form of comparison, right? Like it's powerful.
Yeah, and I think in the 9 years I've been in real estate, it's been 9 different years in real estate because the market has been different every year.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's right. A lot of diversity. So what was the motivation for you to jump side to the buy side? Like what was the, if you can remember, like what was like the trigger point? Are you like, I need to do this or I'm interested in this?
So for me, I've always been very much customer service focused. I really did love working with a lot of the buyers from the other side, coaching them through how things work. And I found along the way, probably some of the things that were a standout for me was the lack of education that people had when they were buying property, and the fear of not speaking up and actually saying, hey, I don't know what this is. So that was always in the back of my mind. I really wanted to be able to understand how I could help them, but also creating enough time for them to understand what was coming next. I find, I've said this before, that you're doing a grown-up transaction and people expect that you know the grown-up terms. And a lot of people won't speak up and say, hey, I don't know what a settlement is, or I don't know what is the difference between a conditional and an unconditional exchange. And when you're buying property, which, you know, most first homeowners here in Newcastle is anything between $850 and $1 million, that's a lot of money to be guessing and not speaking up and saying, hey, I don't know what this is. Can you explain it to me? So rewinding back, I used to take a lot of time to help people understand that process. And there was one particular event where a long client of mine that I'd sold for multiple times before was in a position where she was about to make the next move into the dream spot in terms of location. And I was actually heavily pregnant at the time. And she rang and she said, look, I need some help on this. The agents told me to pre-auction offer. I just want your opinion on this. And she buys with a heart. And so we had to start dissecting the campaign and understanding how it was performing so that I could understand and give her the right education for it. And it turns out that from what I was reading, number one, I actually worked with the agent before, so I knew how the campaign was run. And the campaign seemed to be tracking in a way that it wasn't best for her to pre-auction offer. Would have been better for her to see out the campaign and actually register and bid. And so I said that to her. I said, we just need to sit tight, see it through. I feel like where we're sitting at the moment isn't the best position for you. Mm-hmm. And I surprised her, rocked up, waddling into the auction and said, I'm here, let's do it. And I just got just ignited another fire in me, just that I was able to take one scenario that could have not been in favor of her, and knowing so well what her outcome was and her plan along the way years before, that it could have been in moments change with overspending or actually securing the property at auction, which she did, saving money, and then she could put it into her renovation for her dream spot. She could have just, it could have been terrible.
Mm.
And so, yeah, we ended up getting the property, which was awesome. And then after that, I thought, man, I like this side. And I was like, if I can do this heavily pregnant man, I want a part of this. And so, yeah, after that, it just sort of, it was in the back of my mind for a while. And I'm like, I really like, you know, what that was. And I suppose I could do this. It's a little bit reversed sometimes from what I was doing before. But the satisfaction that I'm getting now when I'm actually getting something across the line and putting that sticker up with those people and being part of the journey, it's nothing better.
Great example you just shared. And that's just a great representation of how you obviously felt into like, hey, this is something that feels right. I want to zoom into a comment you made though, when you talked about just from what I was understanding, just general buyers not speaking up, right? Mm-hmm. Like who just have NFI what they're doing. And it's ironic because all these buyers out there typically don't use buyers. Like if you look at the majority of the market, they don't use buyers agents as buyers.
No.
They all think they know what they're doing because their sister's husband's friend told them to buy on Albert Street. They'll just buy there. And as you said, like they don't even, like they wouldn't even know what a 66W is or like unconditional, conditional, or like they've never negotiated before and on a property. And I guess my question is to you, like why do you think they don't speak up?
Like I was saying before, they're supposed to be doing something that's grown up and everybody assumes you should know. And I remember when I first started in sales, I hadn't bought a property. Like I was much younger. And I'm sort of walking around the office and I'm like, what is this settlement they're talking about? And I'm like, oh, I might have to go home and Google this because I don't want to speak up now that I'm in the job. And I suppose from that moment, I've always remembered that that's how I felt and I didn't want to speak up. So now I make it part of my journey that when I do work with a client, even if it's from the moment that we have an initial conversation around where are they up to and what's been happening, I allow for extra time to demonstrate why I would do something. I think that's crucial for people to understand the why. Because then they feel safe. They're not feeling like they're left in the dark or, you know, I'd be silly if I asked this question or what if I don't say it right. I always say to them, look, I'm more than happy to explain things a number of times until you do feel comfortable with it because this is a huge transaction. And like you said, Ben, like people, it's the most bizarre thing. People are so okay with spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on something with no education or understanding of how it works. Yet people put more research into things like hairdressers and what GP they might go to. And you're like, this is an exorbitant amount of money and you're just like this. Let's just have a go. It's a scary thought. And people are overspending. And generally the consensus is people have had a terrible experience along the way. And that's not always to the fault of the agent. I feel like a huge part of that is not knowing something or understanding how a property transaction works and the options you have and different ways you can go about it so it becomes more comfortable for somebody because not every transaction is the same. They're quite different and you can make that quite different based on people's criteria and what their objective is to get out of the end goal.
Some really interesting points you raised, especially like you're right, like these people out there, they're researching, as you said, hairdressers and even restaurants and all that type of stuff more so than they're actually understanding what they're doing regarding this purchase. I want to ask you this. How's life been as a buyer's agent?
Great. So I have, we're a young family. I have a three-year-old he's beautiful. He's very busy. And for me, another thing coming into this was, you know, life changed for me when I became a mom. My priorities had shifted. I wasn't able to be available 6 to 7 days like I was before in sales. And since becoming a buyer's agent, it's created, I suppose, the confidence in me to be able to share my time wisely and select the days that work for me. And there's specific days I do have my son, so my calendar is booked out and I'm not available. Family is my first value, and it's very important that I can have that in my life. And I mold my calendar around my clients and then my family life, and it's just given me a lot more control over my daily duties and what I need to do, and still feel like I have that balance without feeling like I'm on the hamster wheel all the time.
Mm. I love that. And it seems like you've been on it, from what I read, a bit of a rampage with new clients. Is that right?
Yeah, we've been busy. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. So, yeah, we actually, a client of mine, we put the sold sticker up yesterday, and that was a really awesome story for them. They'd missed out for ages, and it was a quick transaction, because they'd found the house they wanted, and they said, look, we need you to help us. And the reason they found me was they actually saw me bid on another property for another client and said, we didn't even get to raise the paddle. This went too fast. We have no idea what we're doing, and we need your help. And so we were talking over Christmas time, and sure enough, like, they engaged me on the Wednesday. We started negotiating. We got the O&A, offer and acceptance, on the Wednesday, and we went through a cooling off period to make sure that they're comfortable with everything being first homeowners. And yeah, exchanged. We actually shut down the cool off period a little bit earlier to get the sticker up, and got to be a part of such a beautiful moment yesterday where their children didn't know they'd bought the house, and they were pushing for this house because their daughter's best friend lived across the road. And so we were able to just be there and surprise them that this is now where home is, and you get to go across the road and play with your friend whenever you want. And it was unreal. It was a warm and fuzzy moment. It was beautiful.
I love that. It's so good that they you recognize at the auction, and you'd be a ruthless bidder, I would imagine.
You've definitely like have strategy when it comes to certain auctioneers and particular campaigns with how agents are setting up their campaigns, which is another plus, knowing that I've come from that sales background. You know who to buy off and who to have some extra strategy.
Yeah, and it's good that you've got that inside information around how to navigate that. So are you focusing on like owner-occupiers, investors? You're doing both? Like, what does it look like?
So you've probably picked up with me, I'm all about the feels. So owner-occupier is my space that I want to focus in. I think investors generally, it's a less emotional transaction. It's more around the numbers. And for me, it lights me up to be able to be on that journey and understand, what do we need to do? How can we get there? And how can I give it to you?
So,
yeah.
I'm not surprised. I thought you were going to be the owner-occupier queen in the Nui region. So what's it like in Newcastle around buyer's agents? Like, are agents receptive? Have you entered in there feeling like, hey, there's not too much resistance, or what's it been like?
It's a really interesting question, actually. I went into this thinking that it was going to be like, I have a lot of relationships across Newcastle, Lake Macquarie. And I went into this thinking, I suppose, yeah, this is going to be cool. Like, you know, get this one on the phone. And within reason, like, I can get early access to things because of particular agents. You know, if I'm seeing three homes in a time slot between 10 and 10:30, it's almost impossible for me to get everywhere at once. So, you know, I will see things off market and have that opportunity. And there are other agents as well, however, now that place you in a different basket. So I think it's just depends on who you're dealing with. But I actually had a comment the other day around, you know, becoming a buyer's agent. And I said, look, you know me personally, you know, I'm here for the right reasons. And, you know, I just want to help people. And they were like, yeah, look, there is certainly a need for it, because listing agents don't have time to spend that time with the buyers explaining things. And they try. And I know this from my end, like when I was working in sales, you do want to help everyone, and essentially purchases do turn into vendors one day. But there is so much going on where you're in a high performing team and you've got, you know, 15 listings active, and, you know, like Newcastle market's pretty crazy with buyers at the moment. An agent told me he had 74 buyers through an open house the other day in a not so busy area. And I was like,
crazy.
People can't service that many people, and that's why they need us.
When you were on the the sell side, because I know you're working very heavily with buyers. Were you noticing like just how hopeless they were, like in terms of just
yeah.
So like you would have seen that firsthand by when you were doing that role, right?
Yeah, that's where I felt for me there was probably a little bit of a clash of values on things, because I was like, I wanted to be able to give more. In a position when obviously you are employed by the vendor, but with respect, there is an outcome there that we can find someone that matches the outcome of the vendor, come together and we buy a house.
Mm.
But yeah, it was really rattling me sometimes when you see that, you've got 10 registered bidders on a property and only one can buy it.
Mm.
And everyone else is left over and they go, oh, wow, I put all my eggs in one basket. And they do. They're like, this is it. We're here. We're at the auction. It's just there. And that's part of the strategy, right? Like, put the product in front of people and dangle it there and say, hey, it's right here. Let's go. And I think that's a big thing too, is educating people on the journey. Like, this may not be the one. However, we're going to give it, our best shot to get it across the line. But generally speaking, especially in that first homeowner market at the moment, there's a lot of downsizers coming in with high cash budgets that are just like, hey, I'll just sprinkle this over here. And, the first homeowners are in the corner going, we didn't even have a shot.
Mm.
So sometimes you need more expertise to get around that as well versus just budget. Like, obviously, you get to an auction and budget plays a huge part in whether you're successful or not. But there's other strategies to do earlier in the campaign around, talking to agents and seeing where it's at and tracking it and all the things. So, yeah, it's very hard to watch when buyers miss out. It breaks me.
Yeah, and especially when they've got no idea. So you said the word pre-market before. Like, what's it like in Newcastle, especially with your relationships around, like, getting access off-market and pre-market? Is that something that happens a lot in your area or not so often?
I've actually got an inspection this afternoon for an off-market opportunity. Something for me too that I've found has worked like pretty well is drawing on my experience of sales and trying to source things like off-market is super important, because we are seeing a lack of stock here in Newcastle. And I suppose we're late blooming this year too. There hasn't been a lot of stock come on where usually February we'd be ramping up. Mm. And so the hardest part to watch as well is that buyers are actually settling for homes that are on the market and going, oh, that'll do because I'm over the journey. I'm sick of looking. And sometimes that's not the best brief. They'll overspend on a property that they haven't really loved. And that's the part that upsets me, because when did it come to a point that people had to settle and go, oh, look, I've been looking for 12 months. I've missed out this many times. I've had such a terrible experience. And now I just want it over and done with. And this should be an exciting journey. This is a massive purchase, a massive commitment. And, why don't we see what else is out there? Like, why don't we go shopping in lots of different department stores versus one?
Yeah, it's interesting, hey, you're right. Like, I think a lot of people, those uneducated buyers, like they think the only thing you do is you go on real estate and domain and you wait until the property pops up and you just turn up to the open and but what's interesting as well is my perspective is, I think the role of a buyer's agent, I think, is even more important when something's on the market. Like you mentioned, there was 74 people before through that property. Like, my question is, like, if you're a standard buyer and you're part of that 74, like, what are you going to do differently? And unless you've got a buyer's agent to help you strategize properly, I think a lot of the value, especially when the market is strong, is actually buying something on the market.
True. I actually had this client I was telling you about yesterday with the sold sticker. He told me, as we were toasting with a little champagne, he goes, Jordan, he goes, nothing felt better than walking into this house and we jumped the queue. Because you were walking in first and you knew them, they knew you, and we were going straight in. And I'm like, well, that's what it's all about. It is. It's like going to event cinemas, jumping the queue and getting having a good look. Is this going to work? And 74 buyers, how can you stand out in that? You can obviously pester an agent, but that doesn't always work either.
Yeah. And that's another good example around, like, just – they're going into a property with you and they're not just feeling like that just a number. You know, they're walking with you and they know that you've got just a level of understanding and probably a good relationship with the agent where they feel like they've got some form of pull, leverage.
Yeah, definitely. Because people, you know, they don't know what they don't know. And when I know someone, it's generally, yeah, cool, have a look through. And I think, too, agents respect somebody that is happy to have a straightforward conversation, no
fluff.
They're not having to go backwards and forwards around how does this work.
Yeah. Are you focusing in a specific price point or is it quite general?
I wouldn't say a specific price point. I would say that my client avatar would be upsizing families. However, I do have a huge space for first homeowners because they're the ones that need our help the most. So I do have a few of them on my books at the moment, which I think just for me, like I just get the thrill out of the education for them, like just giving them that extra hope, giving them that opportunity and understanding and not feeling like they're in the dark, because generally speaking, the people they're getting advice from is their parents. And with all due respect, like, you know, they probably know some things, but most parents have transacted 20, 30 years later, earlier, and they're still back in the days of the bus inspections. And, you know, like they hadn't even really understood about offers over or anything. So it's really different now. And, you know, people generally go for advice with people that they know and that they like their parents and people around them. And sometimes those people can actually ruin the experience based on their lack of knowledge on how much things have changed.
That's a good point. And in regards to these first home buyers, I mean, there is a bit of stigma around that. Oh, I mean, what you said is absolutely correct. Like these first home buyers, like ironically, they need help the most. They're first home buyers, right?
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, the stigma that I used to hear is, oh, well, how are they going to afford you? But I'm like, not every first home buyer is poor, or like not every first home buyer is like strapped for cash. Just because they're buying their first home doesn't mean they can't afford to buy this. What's your thoughts on that?
Another great question. So for me, there are certainly people that aren't in a position to be able to pay extra for fees. And that's fine. I always say to them, look, if that's the case, please follow along on the journey on socials. I give educational content that might be helpful along your journey. And, you know, if I see you at an open home, feel free to reach out and, you know, I'm happy to help. But there's ways around things like that too. Like talking directly with the client's broker and understanding their finance and how it's set up, and can we make this work with fees? And a lot of the people like that have had that objection first up, we've had that conversation and we've been able to make room for it. So I feel like that's just a block from an uneducated person that doesn't really understand that there's options.
I like that. I think I come from the same viewpoint as you. Jordan, before we start to wrap up, what are plans this year for you? I mean, obviously in March, and you've kicked off very strong, no surprise. What's the focus? Are you looking just to keep your business very boutique, just very personal? Are you looking to hire maybe a team to support you down the track? Have you thought about that? Any feedback around just what you're looking to do?
Yes, definitely. So for me, like I spoke on earlier, balance is really important, and I have been in a position where I have burnt out before and felt very exhausted, and I just don't want to allow space for that given that I have family now. So I actually have just got someone coming on board shortly, which will help in the back end for me just to be able to keep the engine room humming and allow more time for me to be able to speak to people and see so we can do to help them. But the projection plan would be to build a team, and I've actually already had a few people reach out to me and say, hey, look, on the down low, I think I'd be interested in looking at what happens here in the next 6 months and see what happens, because obviously people are watching what's happening, and these particular people I feel are very much aligned with my values and want the same thing, which is purely really helping people. That's the plan. And look, I'm was very surprised that everything went as quickly as it did, which is great. That's amazing. But yeah, if it keeps going like it does, that's definitely going to have to happen for sure.
I love it. I'm not surprised. I think you've got a great plan there. I think it's a very disciplined plan because, you know, you value your family, as you said, number one, and obviously your lifestyle. And I think it takes takes discipline to not get distracted and then want to hire all these people, you know. So I think that's phenomenal that you've thought about that so early on in this venture. Wishing you all the best. I think you're a massive asset. I think you come with a really interesting skill set and value add to the market where you're operating. And you seem very, very passionate about what you're doing, especially working with Owner Rocks and those first home buyers. So I can't wait to see you crush it more further, okay?
Thanks, Ben. I really appreciate it and your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.